From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. Immigrants from struggling democracies all over the world are following the U.S. electoral process this year. What they're observing is messy and complicated, often angry and combative, and sometimes inspiring. As Marianne McCune of member station WNYC in New York reports, many of these immigrants say they hope eventually to return to the countries they left behind, so they're taking mental notes on what works and what doesn't.
What of American democracy is worth exporting is the subject of debate among politicians, social scientists, and revolutionaries around the world. So don't look for the answers in this story. Just let yourself be provoked by the range of opinions.
Sarah, come here.
Ali Fadil is a journalist from Iraq who's living with his wife and two children in Ridgewood, Queens.
Excuse me, I was seeing Cusco.
Their kids agree to watch a movie on the computer while the grown-ups sit down in the kitchen to talk about American democracy.
I was shocked the other day. One of my best friends, writing about John McCain and how he is better than the rest because he answers questions nicely and encourages follow-up questions and he listens to people. And there's nothing in his article about what is his agenda, how he is so similar to Bush. It's just McCain is looking good.
I have seen the Democratic debates.
Fadil's wife, Zina Abbas, says she has been impressed by some of the debates between the Democratic candidates, but she's aghast at their discussion of Iraq. How can they talk about withdrawing the troops and not mention the Iraqis?
How about women, kids, victims? How about the refugees? How would they just leave all this chaos and withdraw? This is their responsibility.
These two disagree on what the U.S. should do.
I think the Americans should withdraw from Iraq.
But they agree that Americans are making political decisions based on false impressions. The way Ali Fadil sees it, American leaders and media so distort reality with what they say and what they don't say that they prevent their own democracy from functioning as it should.
I know everything about Ariel.
Sometimes immigrants find more fault with American democracy than your average American. Naomi Darrenblum teaches courses on emerging democracies and civil society to students from all over the world at the New School and New York University. And she says many of her students come here with such high expectations of democracy, it's hard not to be disappointed. But at the same time, she says, they're likely to find more to admire than their American-born peers.
For those of us who come from outside, it seems thriving in ways that we would never associate with our own systems.
Darrenblum is from Costa Rica, considered one of the healthiest democracies in Latin America. But when she arrived in the U.S., she says she was still struck by the intimacy of the American electoral process, particularly the primaries.
Some of the questions when you see it on TV seem a little banal, maybe. Oh, what book did you read? Have you read a novel by such and such author? But it's this desire by the voters to really get to know the candidates. And I think that push for trying to connect the voter to the candidate at a very intimate level is something I don't think you have anywhere else.
In Darrenblum's classes, they talk about government transparency, the ways in which a system is predictable, accountable, and accessible to the average citizen.
The model here has transparency in a way that other countries in the world don't have, even at the level that you say, oh, yes, this is a functioning democracy.
Think C-SPAN, where you can watch the workings of Congress 24 hours a day. Or on a more basic level, the separation of powers, that the president doesn't control all. That's what Sharon Makarua thinks went wrong in Kenya, where the president controls the security forces, the judiciary, the civil service.
And the way the president gets to control them is he appoints people from his region, you know. And it's been a rude awakening because we have sort of accepted it as the norm that, you know, when your leader is in power, your people benefit.
Makarua works at the Harlem-based not-for-profit African Services Committee, and a few of her colleagues have stayed late at work to talk.
My name is Alpha Kasugi, and I'm from Mali.
Alpha Kasugi is planning to run for president of Mali in 2012.
I'm preparing myself for that, and it's coming.
And the American tradition he wants to take with him is debate, how to use words as weapons.
Take your weakness as a strength.
And know how to demonize your opponent's strength.
That's what I really like.
Okay, to a point, says a Mauritanian-American named Bakary Tanja, but it can be overdone.
It is misleading,
It costs a lot of money.
That launches a debate in this circle about campaign finance in the U.S. Are elected officials here too beholden to big money?
I just don't want the finances part to be exported to nowhere.
There is one aspect of American democracy everyone in this circle would like to take home one day. The role of grassroots organizations, like the one they work for.
I get really excited about it.
Njoya Hillary Tikrum fled Cameroon 2 years ago and says watching the elections here, he's amazed by how informed the candidates are.
They all seem to know a lot about what is going on even in the slums. And I think this is not just because they are so intelligent.
It's because the not-for-profits, the unions, the block associations, the parent-teachers associations, they have a voice, he says.
These are all common people. The moment they come together and have an opinion, it's very possible for their opinion to be heard. That is a very, very efficient way of dealing with the masses.
In Naomi Dahrenbloom's classes at NYU in the New School, she calls that kind of civic participation a hallmark of American democracy, straight out of Alexis de Tocqueville's Democracy in America, written almost 200 years ago.
It's participation that teaches you what is required of democracy, the work, the responsibility of citizenship. And that is something that I think all of us immigrants see here when we come from other countries.
I appreciate these things.
We're back in Ali Fadil's kitchen. He's the journalist from Iraq.
I appreciate the PTA. I appreciate seeing people say, we don't want this bar and this place or, you know, the city councils and these things. I appreciate it. It's nice. This is a nice thing to have. But I don't appreciate it to be in my country.
Not applicable, he insists. So what of American democracy do Fadil and his wife hope to see in Iraq?
I hope nothing. We have many problems, and these problems are really integrated into our community, into our society. And bringing democracy, it grows up these problems. It really brings these problems to the surface. And these problems are strong enough to destroy the nation.
It would be nice to have the same debates, and nominees are talking what are their plan and what they're going to do. It would be nice, yeah, but...
It's meaningless for us.
No, it's not meaningless, but you have to have a safe country. You are pessimistic. You can't imagine that this is going on in Iraq because it's chaos.
We're not the kind of people to have two candidates sitting and talking about two different issues without hitting each other with their shoes. With their shoes, at least.
But if it would be safe country, it would be great.
These two Iraqis are far from the only New York immigrants critical of America's official attempts to export democracy. One point is echoed in their conversations, that the immigrants who come to the U.S. and see its democracy up close may be the best able to bring those lessons back home. For NPR News, I'm Marianne McCune in New York.
Our program is directed by Greg Dixon, edited by Jonathan Kern, and produced by Neil Carruth. The technical director is Bill Deputy. The engineering supervisor is Robert Jackson.
At the National Desk, Steve Drummond, David Sweeney, Ron Elving, Ken Rudin, Uri Berliner, Cindy Johnston, Elisa Barba, Kate Kinkenen, Beth Donovan, and Evie Stone.
Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.